This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning.
And, good morning.
A little bit of Ken Nordine this morning.
Yes.
You got to get your vocal warm-ups in, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Always got to warm up a little bit. Yeah, we should do we should find some more Ken Nordine maybe for the holidays.
Yeah. Well, I wonder, you know, people really enjoy Ken Nordine very much.
You know, I'm not sure. You know, are the people even aware?
Word jazz.
Yeah, the word jazz guy.
Back in the 50s and 60s. I mean, he was one of the icons back then. He didn't really intend it to be like that, but interesting interview. It would be great to rerun that interview on the show. You know, it just...
We could do that, maybe during the holiday week that we're planning.
Oh, yeah. We should try that then.
Yeah.
Yeah, good idea.
We could sample some of that.
I was talking about yesterday, I was hallucinating on coffee. I had a little bit too much.
During the show.
Yeah. That never happens.
You seem normal to the rest of us.
Well, I don't know what was going on. The thing is, I have this really good coffee now, and I thought I could use a couple extra scoops in the coffee, and it would even taste better. Sometimes coffee gets a little too intense if you add too much coffee. But for some reason, it didn't get intense, but the caffeine did. And I was flying yesterday, just
Caffeine's
flying.
Not really that good for you. You were shaking a little bit.
I was
sweating.
It was not good.
Yeah.
I almost OD'd on the show.
Wow.
You know, talking to Sam about making what? Go ahead.
Maybe somebody dosed you.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody wanted to have unwanted sex with me.
What the hell are you talking?
John got roofied.
That's it, Sam.
God.
But you know, Sam was talking about still making coffee in his percolator. Can you believe that? Percolator. Yeah.
Well, I refuse to buy a new coffee maker if I've got one that works fine.
You were just talking to me how inexpensive they are. All you have to do is go out and buy another one.
You can. Well, I walked into Target a couple days ago and they had $20 coffee makers right there.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that doesn't sound like it'd make a good cup.
Well, that's true.
But, you know, here's the thing, though. Your percolator, you said it was your grandmother's, right?
Great-grandparents.
No, really?
Yeah.
Wow, it's got to be really
good. You don't
see
percolators too much anymore.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
That was my first coffee maker when I got my first apartment in Milwaukee.
A percolator, yeah.
Yeah. Before I started really getting into coffee.
Did they have drip coffee makers by then even? Had they been invented?
I don't think they were at that time. No, seriously, I don't think they were.
Yeah.
Victor Allen's kind of, I think they started in Milwaukee on the east side, but I'm not sure. But this is well before that, you know, before the coffee roasters started appearing all over the city. But the percolator, I got to tell you, I kind of liked percolated coffee. I thought it
was
really good.
That's a hot take.
Maybe it's coming back.
Isn't that weird? I just loved it.
I got to find a place that sells coarse ground coffee, because like with fine ground stuff like you buy everywhere, it gets into the coffee so much with my coffee maker.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh.
That's weird. Okay.
So definitely, you know, keep that percolator going.
As long as it keeps working, I'm going to keep it.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, they certainly make better coffee makers now. I have a super coffee maker right now. But, yeah, you keep that thing and enjoy the flavor. And someday you'll look back on it and say, geez, I love that percolated coffee.
Do you want me to bring it in so you can have a cup
made with it? Bring it in.
Well, yeah, it'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it?
It would be fun.
Yeah.
Do you just buy regular coffee off the off the shelf to use?
Not the cans. Drip the cans.
Drip the can, like Bill's Brothers or something.
Yeah. You know what? The better coffee in cans is, I think, Folgers. It was, anyway.
That's what I always use.
It's the best part of waking up.
Folgers. Is that the slogan?
Yeah.
Because Maxwell House was a little bitter for me. I didn't like Maxwell House.
Yeah.
That's what, okay.
But it's cheaper.
The can of coffee that I had here for our coffee maker, I brought in once, like, we ran out of the little individual packs. It was Maxwell House. I don't know what happened to it, but it tasted like cigarettes the first time I brewed the first time I brewed the coffee maker here. I don't know if I've gotten used to it or if the flavor has just gone away somehow.
Maybe your taste buds are changing. You know?
I guess I've gotten used to cigarette coffee.
Yeah.
Maybe people are putting their cigarette butts out in that can and you didn't know it.
Well, you've been smoking those big cigars, you know, when you go on break.
And so
those aren't good for it. Try to lower your voice
a
little
chomper.
Bit.
Yeah.
that's good. Well, whatever you're drinking to keep you warm this morning, it's damn cold.
It's
out.
Damn cold.
That's
out
what
there.
I think weather people should start swearing more on the air. You know,
that's
like
what
TV
I'm
weather. It's just damn cold.
It really
damn
adds cold. Emphasis.
Yes. It would be.
It's anyway. Windy too.
Yes. It's very breezy.
It's cold as S words.
Yes, it is.
All right.
Okay. Let's see. Right now it's 10 degrees, and with the wind chill factored in, a little northwest breeze at 10 to 15 miles per hour, it's minus 6. That's the way it feels. That's the feels like temperature.
It feels like. That's great. That's great.
Would you like to know what the afternoon high is?
I'd like to know.
Let's do the roulette wheel thing. Spin happens. That thing around backwards. It'll change counterclockwise. Okay. It's taking a lot long. Oh, 25 for an afternoon high.
Is there a way to make it go less time?
I don't know.
Smaller radius?
Seemed like it went a little longer.
Spun
that
it
time.
A little too hard that time.
Okay.
All right.
25 is our expected high.
That's not good.
But it's going to be windy all day long. So bundle up, you know, dress in layers. Get a hat and a scarf and gloves.
I've mentioned this before, but my sons have a different sleep time. And my younger son, who likes to go out in the middle of the night and take walks, which I have to get a lighted thing so it looks like he's out there actually intentionally walking instead of looking like he's gonna peer in people's windows or rob a store or something. But he came up this morning and said, I went out for a walk. I said, really?
Wow. Says,
yeah, it's 8 degrees out and it's too cold. He just bought gloves on Amazon and they're not insulated. I think, you know, your gloves aren't insulated. You really have to get some insulated gloves. Well, I guess so, but it's so cold out there in the wind that I think if I wore goggles, I'd be okay.
Goggles.
I've never thought of anybody wearing goggles because it's too cold outside, but I thought, you know, that's an interesting angle. Okay, go with that.
Yeah.
So he's walking around downtown Middleton with goggles.
Well, maybe his eyeballs got all frozen up.
Yeah, well,
his eyelashes.
The wind.
Yeah.
That's what his solution is to that.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
All right. Well, should we check out the National Day calendar?
Let's do it.
Should we skip it today? Or
we always try to, but let's get to it.
All right. It's December 5th. Is it or is it not National Repeal Day? Is it or is it not National Sacerdote Day?
So that's the word you could.
S A C H E R. So you know this is a day.
Sacerdote.
Well, you look at it.
Okay.
How would you pronounce that? You see it?
Yeah, Sacerdote.
Okay.
I have no idea.
And is it or is it Bathtub Party Day?
It's not.
Or is it paper cut?
Day.
Paper cut day.
Okay, it's not paper cut day.
You're right.
All right.
Ding, ding, ding. Okay.
Let's get into the Sacerdote
Day. Sacerdote
Day.
That sounds like a dessert item, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, guess what? We're right. What if you like chocolate and you like cake, then National Soccer Torte Day is today, and it's a perfect day for you. The layered ingredients make this dessert a delicious torte, right?
It almost seems like, you know, the French did this on purpose just to make people not be able to say the name of whatever dessert they sent to the U.S.
Do we have Julian standing by? Can you throw it in there or not?
Torte.
Okay. At the age of 16, a guy named Franz Sacher was the only apprentice to the chef when some chef, it doesn't mention.
I think you might have said the word right.
Sacher.
Sacher.
Sacher?
I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, they made this dessert. Who cares?
Where is he from? Is he from the U.S.?
I believe he's from France.
Oh, okay.
Germany. One of the other. It doesn't really say where. Oh, Vienna. I'm sorry.
Vienna. Okay.
Austria. Okay. Cakes and torts are very similar, actually. In fact, a tort is a type of cake. Okay. I'm done with that. It's bathtub party day. Did you find Julian? Do you have it? Let's hear him. Here we go.
The German pronunciation, Sachertorte. Okay. Yes, I know. In English, it's not generally pronounced this way. It's often pronounced as Sachertorte.
Sachertorte.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Okay.
Hey, we got a couple of responses here in regards to coffee. Yeah. Wasn't there a song that featured a coffee percolating sound? It was.
Yeah.
The percolator. That's not,
songs,
not the
yeah.
one that. Yeah, but there's an actual one way back in the 50s.
Yeah,
what's it called?
It's for one of the coffee companies, either Hillsborough or Hillsborough. Hills Brothers. Hillsborough's a town.
Yeah, I play that on the show every now and then, don't I?
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it's a takeoff of that, but it's not exactly.
But the original is.
I'll do some digging.
Is very good. All right, and somebody said I used to wear goggles snowmobiling and downhill skiing. So
oh sure
yeah
makes sense. It's bathtub party day. Hey, do you have a bathtub? Well, it's party time. It encourages everybody to skip the ordinary shower and linger in the tub instead. Why would we need a day just for that? Add some suds to the tub and pamper yourself. It's a bathtub party. It sounds suspiciously like a crowded affair, but it doesn't have to be. Says here.
I've been in a few of those bathtub parties.
Don't tell us about your days in 1968.
All right.
Nobody
all
wants right. to know.
But they're fun.
remember, never mind.
What?
Arnie Wheeler?
Wheeler, yeah.
There was a hot tub party one time for 92 MAD. I don't know.
That probably didn't end well.
No, it didn't. Never mind. It's 18 minutes past the hour. When we come back, we'll open up the dusty history book for today. It's John and Gordy in the morning.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
.7 WMDX. It's the percolator song.
Yes.
Who does this?
This version is Billy Joe and the Checkmates.
Yes.
Oh, Billy Joe and the Checkmates.
Okay. It's great. Yeah. It just builds up right here. It just keeps building and building and building.
Okay.
Go for it. Okay, now hit
there.
It.
Watching coffee brew was never so much fun.
Yeah, it's a happy little song.
Okay. Didn't quite build, but
didn't.
But that's pretty cool. It was nice.
Yeah,
I mean that's when people percolated their coffee first thing in the morning.
And Sam, you're gonna bring it in tomorrow. Bring in your percolator.
I can do that. Sure. Yeah.
I'd like to see something that old.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like a stainless steel kettle looking thing.
That's all it is.
Well,
it's old. It's ancient. It's still working.
Sure.
Let's brew up some coffee.
Probably 40, maybe 50 years old.
Is it square?
No, it's like a, it's like a round.
It's chrome.
It looks like an electric kettle.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, bring it in, bring some coffee with it,
and
we'll check it out.
But it sounds like fun, eh?
Can't wait. That's the little things in life, right? Oh, boy.
Well, we'll share it with our audience as well.
Our phone lines are open, and you can also text us at 608-879-8255. That's 879-TALK. Or just use the Civic Media app. Let us know what's going on. What's happening in the history book arena?
Boy,
today.
I'm glad you asked. Let's,
please
let's
open it up slowly today.
Oh,
slowly.
No,
no, no.
It would really help if you just held your breath while you open that damn box.
Hold your breath.
I really ought to take your advice, John.
Yeah.
Whew. Maybe it's all those cigars I've been smoking.
Yeah, really. Good back off on those.
Yeah. It's not good.
Yeah.
Right. Let's see. Today in 1848, that's the first entry we got in the book today.
Okay.
The California Gold Rush is confirmed by the U.S. government. Like it had been rumored in a couple. What? What's so funny?
The government confirmed it and just said, "Yeah, it's a thing."
They well, said, "This is it."
Yeah. Well, okay.
Historical event.
James K. Polk, the president at the time, he said that there was a lot of gold out in California. there were some newspapers, one on the West Coast and then on the East Coast, that had like rumored there being gold out in California, but he confirmed that there was a lot. There wasn't actually a lot.
No.
But that's what got people to head out to California.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
People that made the money were the people that were selling the pans and the picks and the shovels.
I was reading on Wikipedia about it yesterday.
Yeah.
The second guy who heard about the discovery, the first thing that he did was to go and set up a prospecting store.
Yeah. Smart.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, in all those gold rush towns, sprung up all over the place. Yeah. So, you know, it was a way to create a new city.
Yep.
Okay. Fun stuff. Jumping.
Well, it is. It is fun stuff. I love history so much. Especially
what else
the dust.
Happened on this
jumping
date?
Forward a century. Today in 1952, the Great Smog of London begins.
Wow.
Are you familiar?
Smog.
No, I don't remember that at all. I remember the smog out in California, but back in don't remember that.
Yeah. Right. Well, so 16. London has had air pollution problems for centuries.
Oh, sure.
But in the early 50s, they were still burning coal pretty much to heat everything. Mm-hmm. And post-World War II, they were exporting all of their high-quality coal and burning the cheap, low-quality stuff at home.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the perfect storm of like weather events and cold weather, so people were burning a ton of extra coal.
Wow.
That there was like all of this sulfur in the air over London, and it created this terrible smog, and like a ton of people got sick, a ton of people died.
Lord.
It's crazy looking at pictures because it's literally just like the streets are filled with smoke. You can't see 100 feet in front of you.
Soot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What else? What's sad?
We always have nothing to say after.
I don't know what.
Well, I mean, it's
too bad.
A
I don't know.
Horrible vision.
And the wind then blew it away.
The lesson to be learned: stop burning coal. I guess.
And then Jack the Ripper came out.
Oh no!
All right, let's continue with.
Last thing I got on the list today: in 1955, the Montgomery bus boycott begins.
Montgomery, Alabama.
Yep. Day after Rosa Parks was arrested. It was originally meant to be a one-day boycott, but it was so successful that they decided to keep it going for almost a month towards the end of December.
Yep. Any celebrity birthdays today?
John, do you recognize the name Fritz Lang?
I do.
Fritz Lang, the director of Metropolis.
Yes.
We've
always talked about Metropolis on this program when Jim comes in and we talk about the movie.
Yes.
You know, Metropolis had all these different versions, and they try to piecemeal this thing together because they had different versions of different countries, different edited versions, some final versions, but they can't locate everything, and some parts of the film just drawings.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's a silent movie, so they just fill it in with music.
You know, Gordy and I are going to see a silent movie. Not a silent movie, but... Oh.
Yeah, well, it is a silent movie, basically.
Sure.
100 beavers.
Hundreds of beavers, yes.
Yeah.
It's got
no
dialogue.
I don't know if I can make that tonight, Sam, by the way.
Oh,
but
man.
Yeah, I got something I got to do.
Okay. A couple other birthdays, though.
Really insincere.
Yeah, I'm sure. A couple other birthdays on the list here.
Never mind.
It's Walt Disney's birthday.
I had a little spasm there. A little spasm on my wrist. Sorry, for all you people watching closely.
Folks, giving me a certain gesture.
Folks, text us and tell us exactly how insincere that did sound.
Let's just move on, okay?
All right.
Well, it's like I said, it's Walt Disney's birthday, the Mouse Man, and Little Richard's birthday is today.
What was that about?
The woo.
Little Richard.
Does he do that?
Little Richard.
Yeah, I haven't heard that many songs.
Well, play Good Golly, Miss Molly.
I've got a different song queued up. All right. We've only got a minute left.
All right, no, that's
all right,
good.
We'll play it when we come back.
Okay.
Yeah. He had that high-pitched woo, and Paul McCartney picked up on it.
It was kind of the first glam rockers.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you listen to Doug's cut that he sent you?
No, I haven't been listening.
All right, Ken Nordine.
We'll get to that soon.
Oh, it is Ken Nordine.
What do we got coming up in Idiocracy next?
Well, that's a great question.
Well, we've got...
We've got Busted Pencils.
Oh, that's right. It's Thursday.
Dr. Tim Slecker will be joining us shortly. Give us the insight on education, what's going on in the world of education.
That's right.
We'll get educated. It is 6:29, and we're coming back with more on John and Gordy in the Morning.
She almost drives me crazy. She knows how to love me, yes, indeed. Boy, you don't know what she do to me. Tootie fruity, oh, Rudy. Tootie fruity, oh, Rudy. Tootie fruity, oh, Rudy.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
And they usually get opposition, people surrounding them, and they raise their hands and they come in and rush to the table in the middle where the guest is.
Listen to John and Gordy in the Morning, followed immediately by me, a true broadcast veteran, Stephanie Miller, on 92.7 WMDS.
We've been doing it for about as many years as Stephanie.
I think so, yeah.
But, you know, she's got the national stage. That's okay. We don't have a traveling show or anything like that. Except sexy liberals.
But what the heck.
That's not happening. That's okay.
You guys are sexy.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Thanks, Tim. You know? Appreciate that. This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress, available on Madison's East or West Sides or online at verlo.com.
As usual, every Thursday morning at this time, we check in with Busted Pencils' Tim Slecker. Thanks for being here this morning. We have so much to talk about. So many little things. Yeah, I know.
lots of little things.
I know. This morning I was checking out the news, and there is two Massachusetts families. They filed a lawsuit just Wednesday challenging deceptive and fraudulent marketing of literacy curricula by several companies in Massachusetts state court. The whole point here is the lawsuit filed alleges literacy curriculum companies peddled products that deceptively and harmfully excluded meaningful phonics instruction, the one thing essential to literacy success. What do you think, Tim?
What?
You
okay?
We've talked about this. This is the science of reading shtick. And actually, you know, we're very happy that we get to talk to Dr. Nancy Carlson Page once a month. That's Matt Damon's mom.
Oh yeah.
who happens to be a literacy expert, early childhood expert, and is from Boston, from the Massachusetts area, and points out that this movement to essentially now go after curriculum, and the main curriculum is Lucy Calkins, and it was called Balanced Literacy. And the idea behind this is that students need to learn the words, learn the letters, learn the sounds. They also need to see words in context, and they should be able to use the pictures that they're looking at to actually help them determine what they're reading, and that they should really read texts too that also have meaning instead of just designed to check your grade level. And now all of a sudden we've got this like we've discovered gold, that it's they've now decided to call it the Science of Reading, and it's essentially a phonics only curriculum. And they've now launched this attack that kids now can't read because occasionally they were using balanced literacy where teachers asked the kids to occasionally sound out or guess at words or look at pictures to help them make decisions. All the things you do when you're learning to read is now against the law. And so, yeah, we're coming after this. But Dr. Nancy Carlson Page points out that, the research on using multiple ways for kids to learn to read is still solid. But there's a lot of push, though, in some of these curriculum companies. I think we may have even started it, but there are states, in my state of Ohio, if a teacher or a college uses now literacy curriculum that isn't on the approved list, you can have your license revoked and your ability to grant teaching licenses as a college removed. I mean, this is like weird, oppressive crap. But yeah, I just saw that, though, where these parents now are suing. My kids can't read because the teachers taught my kids how to not read. That's essentially the you know, and the teachers may have been okay, but they had a bad curriculum, and that curriculum should have never been.
It says here the suit seeks substantial relief for students harmed by the literacy curriculum, a court order requiring the companies to warn schools and families of the defects in their products and more. Crazy stuff.
Defective products, defective literacy curriculum. Not to spend a whole lot of time, but teaching and learning to read, you know, which is a very essential component, particularly of early childhood, you know, kindergarten, first grade, where we are learning, you know, how letters make sounds, how words come together, how sentences make points and sense. And you could have, mostly everybody remembers this, you know, find the main idea. Jill was wearing a red hat. What color was Jill's hat? Oh, it was red. I mean, all of these things like that. What does the letter C say? The letter C says K. What does the letter A say? Ah. What does the letter T say? Cat. Cat. Oh, okay. All of this comes together. And guess what? Some kids learn to read somehow, sometimes just by having them read to.
Right.
Leads them to understanding. Some kids need actually really direct instruction on saying this letter makes this sound and putting those together.
Right.
And the reality is that there's no one single curriculum, no one single approach to teaching literacy that is a universal, this works and that doesn't work. They all kind of work depending on the kid. They all kind of don't work depending on the kid. It just has so many variables that go into teaching people how to read, because teaching how to read is a really complicated, incredibly challenging task. When you think about what's happening there, you've got little squiggly representations that somehow make sounds, that somehow make words, that somehow make sentences, that somehow make paragraphs, that create a language. And so this is a really complex endeavor, learning to read. Right here, though, now this whole idea that we're going to, you know, become millionaires. Well, maybe this is, darn it, I missed out. Maybe I can have my kids now say they can't read and I can sue for a couple $1 million. Crazy stuff.
But what you're saying is all of these elements are included in teaching children how to read, not just one. And this lawsuit is trying to just make it phonics. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at what they're calling the science of reading, it is a majority of phonics. And again, there's no complaints mm-hmm. in saying that you should learn that. Yes, we should learn what the letters sound like.
Right.
And which was balanced literacy. Mm-hmm. You hear the term balanced. So kids got phonics. Yep. Kids got picture books.
Exactly.
Kids, it was balanced.
Tim, what about writing cursive? Is that going the way of the? I mean, really, is that still taught, or is that just an ancient history now?
No, that is, you know, that's an interesting issue because it really isn't taught as a direct instruction anymore, where kids learn how to write cursive, learn how to print. I mean, they're still printing. See, Sam's jumping in there now.
Please, Sam. What?
Well, okay. So I'm 23. I of course learned how to print. You learned how to write. But for cursive, we spent about 2 weeks on it.
That's it.
In third grade, and that's about all that we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can't write.
They don't
cursive.
Spend a lot of time so you can read somebody's signature, basically.
Yeah. How do you sign a document? I mean, come on, really?
Well,
cursive.
I've kind of. Developed a signature. It's not exactly cursive. And I can read cursive with difficulty, but I can't
really?
Write it.
Well, signatures are now allowed with print. I mean, you can print.
Yeah.
Sign you have electronic signatures. Yeah, it's an interesting. I mean, this is really interesting because you bring up some topics. You know, there are some people saying, you know, for example, how can you read historical documents?
Right.
You know, that were written in cursive, handwritten letters. That's a skill now. You know, I've recently heard, and I understand what they're saying is that. You know, the AI technology now can read cursive, so as long as the kid has their AI attached to them, no problem, you know? It can read. Wow. I don't know how to feel about this one because, you know what, yeah, I know how to print, I know how to write, I know how to read, you know, I know how to type, I know how to do all those things, and I feel like it's pretty important to know all of them, but it is interesting what Sam points out, which is, you know, and again, it's, think about Sam at his age and now kids in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, they really are not being taught cursive handwriting. They're just not. And so what does that mean? It's yeah, I don't know how to feel about that.
Yeah. I don't know where to go with it either. I just think that, you know, I mean, most of the cursive handwriting my mom wrote many years ago. I can't read anyway. And I know cursive.
You know? Well, I remember when we were kids in you know, say second, third, fourth grade, mm-hmm. you learned how to, you know, write cursive and then write a letter. Like write a letter to your mom and dad. Yes. Write a letter. You know, there was a form to write, you know, put the date at the top, dear whoever. There was a, you know, whatever you're wanting to say, and then you sign it to the bottom. There was a form that you had to do and learn to do that. That's apparently gone.
It's gone now.
Gone.
Yeah.
That's gone. You know, it's a lost.
Just do an email.
You know,
do
an email. You know what? Dictate what it is you want to say.
Yeah.
Put it into the computer and then use a cursive font. There you go.
That's the shortcut.
Got it.
Well, I kind of like that one. Technology is so wonderful.
So, you know, when you, I'm sure you guys then too, you know, when you were learning to do cursive, you also, part of the grading by your teachers was whether or not you were neat or not with your cursive. Mm-hmm. Well, just think now, you know, cursive font, you can now get that A+ for neatness.
Great.
Okay. Yeah, I remember the lined paper, you know, you always had to make
the double lined paper.
You had to make sure the letters went up to that, the small letters went up to that line. And, it was kind of fun. All right, well, why don't we get into something a little more controversial at this point, because, you know, we have an elected President Trump, and he's pushing privatizing schools across the nation and even changing curriculum across the nation as well.
Sure.
And at the same time, we've got local elections rejecting privatizing schools. So, we're in a very weird moment. And I think you had a guest on, Bill Ayer, social justice educator, as you describe him, an activist. He kind of described this whole thing as well and named it kind of a contradiction. The public is looking at it in a contradictory way. Could you explain what happened on your last podcast that you have out there?
Well, I mean, Bill Ayers, yeah, great guy. And anybody out there going, the Bill Ayers?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. The yeah. Bill Ayers?
It's the one. It's the guy that made Obama an evil person.
Yeah, that's
right. It's controversial. Yes, that Bill Ayers, the Weather Underground, Vietnam, and different things like that. But went on to be a teacher and a professor of education, wrote an incredibly awesome book that actually a lot of us in teacher education have our beginning teachers read called To Teach. And it's powerful stuff. He's an incredibly gifted speaker, and his ability to, you know, even disarm people who vehemently disagree with him is something I've got to watch and see many times. In fact, my first connection when I was within the Penn State system, I brought Bill to speak on campus, and there were news articles and people protesting that he was coming. Mm-hmm. And there were these three guys who came, duck hunters, all wearing camouflage ready, just, you know, ready to take him down for being a communist and all these things. He talked to the three of them, and they literally looked at me and said, I think we agree with him. So it's that Bill Ayers. But the contradiction, and I think that's a great way to look at it, is to say, so in, let's just use where we really saw this, and we did a show on this with a guy who went down, rural Kentucky, where they voted, 80% of the voters voted for President Trump, but when it came to vouchers, they voted no on vouchers. 74% people voted against vouchers. And you say, how did they vote in favor of their public schools and then vote for President Trump, who has put forward a national voucher movement, and say, yeah, that's a contradiction, because you're going like, wait, you love your public school, you don't want, but you voted for President Trump. Explain that to me. Yeah. We think we've kind of figured that out in an interesting way. So I know we're coming up on that. So think about that, and maybe we can try to answer that.
Yes.
After the break.
We will continue with Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils on John and Gordy in the Morning.
Anything. Take a look. It's in a book. A reading rainbow.
A reading rainbow.
A reading rainbow.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX, the John and Gordy in the Morning Show. We're talking to Busted Pencils, Dr. Tim Slecker, and in just a moment, I want to first talk about Reading Rainbow. You played a song, Reading Rainbow, into this break, and you mentioned something very interesting about Reading Rainbow. Look, I thought it was one of the great programs I watched with my kids, and very emotional.
LeVar Burton.
Incredible. They were really, really memorable shows. Mm-hmm. But what was the thing you were talking about? They don't want anybody to see this, or...
Geordie LaForge too. Yeah. LeVar Burton.
Oh yes. Yes.
Yeah. Reading Rainbow. I mean, when I was student teaching, we would wheel it in, you know, in second grade, and it was always part of the second grade mentor teacher I was working with. It was part of literacy instruction. And this is the insanity of the science of reading, but that is considered now, you know, not worthy of helping kids learn to read, and it is been pushed by extreme science of reading people that they don't think anybody should be allowed to watch Reading Rainbow anymore.
Wow.
Just what's going on?
Weird.
Well, because you know, they really dig into the stories and the emotions and the feelings.
Yeah.
All the reasons you read.
Right. Nice lead, and thank you.
It's so distracting from learning how to read when you start getting into the meaning of reading, darn it.
Yeah. Well, and they want to cut more funding for PBS. I mean, that's been dwindling over the years, but they want to get rid of it
almost
completely.
Yeah, they talked to
Speaker
Mike Johnson, and Mike Johnson said, yep, we're going to cut that.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
I don't know why they're so possessed to cut that. It's just
teachers,
ridiculous.
You know, I worked at a PBS station for 3 or 4 years, yeah. and teachers, I mean, they have a whole education department in PBS stations, mm-hmm. and with a lot of support and a lot of stuff, resources for teachers mm-hmm. to use in the classroom. And, you know, even, well, 10 years ago when I worked there, they were already cutting federal funding. Every time the Republicans got in charge, they want to cut.
Right.
For PBS, because, you know.
Well, you know, because you create the a tax cut for a wealthy person, and they're much happier funding public television. You know, billionaires, give them the right tax break, and they will fund all the things we need.
That's right. Oh, sure. And then, of course, you know, hold that funding if you don't do what they want. And then we're finding that out at colleges. Now, let's get into what we were talking about prior to that, and that is the contradiction. Moment where, you know, Trump wants to go private, and other local people don't want private. They want to support their public schools.
Yeah, they support their public schools. And, you know, one way to kind of look at that is first, again, you're talking about your neighbors here that, you know, aren't really necessarily political activists. And when you did hear Trump's advocacy for public education, he actually really spent most of his time talking about sending it back to the state, sending it back to the localities. And if you listen to that, that actually sounds, you know, kind of important, because these are what the people were saying when they voted for their public school. They're very much voting and saying, they're our kids, they're our towns, they're our schools. We want that. And so there's kind of a message where they're hearing President-elect Trump saying, we're going to send it back to the states, we're going to make it local, where that in one way, there's not a conflict in that vision as they're hearing that. And so they vote in favor of that. The other part of it, though, too, is that, you know, what is it about, you know, well, our schools don't teach woke ideology. Our teachers don't do that. So we're fine. We don't want to lose our kids in our schools. Lots of mixed messages and contradictions. And guess what? I'm going to put most of the blame on this, though, too, is that, and this was an issue that the Democrats continued to lose out the opportunity to harness blue collar people in their mission for a populist mission, where people say, when you have 74% of a Republican bright red state voting in favor of public schools, and you as the challenger don't run on a pro public school platform, you are losing out. And instead, you know, you kind of put forward the typical, we're going to, you know, we want to get test scores up. We want to eliminate the achievement gap. Nobody locally hears that as going, oh my God, I want to get behind that. But when you talk about taking something away that people value and or putting it, and so Democrats missed out. And then the other part, they could have easily pointed out the contradiction there, which was saying, wait, you're voting for a guy who has said he wants to do away with your local public schools. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, I'm going to put most of this on Democrats' inability to recognize the power of a populist movement that puts public education at part of that way of saying, this is what we stand for. We stand for communities. We stand for public education. We stand for democracy. This is the Democrats' fault.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, Tim, it wouldn't be a busted pencil broadcast without Mark. A comment from Mark. Can we get
Mark
on the
line
real quick here? Let's listen to it. Mark, what do you got?
Yeah, thanks. Well, first on the whole script. I mean, I can remember in grade school with the script being above the printed alphabet or below what I can't. But they actually taught us how to do that. And part of the whole thing, we have a national education national program for education, is I think part of it, like for especially for science, that when the Russians, you know, got ahead of us in the space race, I mean, the government took an active role and said, we have to, you know, make our children ready to, you know, and that I'm part of that generation to, you know, compete on a worldwide stage, you know, because all these other nations have national health,
they do,
national education programs.
Right. Yeah.
And this whole movement to, you know, to eliminate script, and I mean that's how we lost how to read cuneiform for goodness sakes, because not everybody, you know, they stopped teaching that.
Mark, thank you.
We had to relearn that.
We're up against out of time, but we had to get you on real quick here. And Tim, thanks for joining us today.
Always love it.
Busted Pencils, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, drops new podcast at civicmedia.us.
That's right.
Also Saturday afternoons on the Civic Media Radio Network. Tim, thank you.
Yeah.
Talk to you next
Great
week.
Great show on Saturday coming up. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Back with more of John and Gordy in a moment.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.